Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
The 2017 National Federation of the Blind Washington Seminar is now in order.
What an amazing Washington Seminar. Hello, my Federation family. This is Anil Lewis with
Chris Danielson.
Man, that was outstanding. Washington, D.C. being taken over by blind people. Got to love it, right?
It was. And it was one of the best ones that I can remember in recent times.
Absolutely.
Not that they're, you know, not all great, but I mean, they are all great is what I'm trying to say.
Well, last year was kind of testing, though, with Snowmageddon. We still had about 200 some odd people, but man, oh man.
Well, that, you know, last year was a big testament to the spirit of the Federation with everybody getting here in Snowmageddon, with a lot of people getting here.
That's
realize
right.
It
okay.
was impossible for some just because the airlines didn't cooperate and all that kind of stuff. But but last year was pretty amazing. But this year we had unprecedented levels of engagement from people, from members of Congress. We had the student rally. It was just a fabulous Washington seminar.
Absolutely. The reception with the members of Congress coming in. What, we have about 10 members of Congress that
we
came?
We did.
In?
It was like one after the other.
Yeah.
It was, oh, another member of Congress is speaking.
And remarkably enough, no one stumped for more than, what, 4 or 5 minutes? We were able to keep them running through pretty good?
Yes, and it was very cordial, very nonpartisan, very lovely. So it was really nice to see our members of Congress speaking directly to constituents and addressing our needs in that way.
Absolutely. And we had well over 500 people there that dedicated their time and their finances to get there. And that's really the power of the Federation. But it's not just the power due to our presence and our membership. I think people did that because they have love for the work that we do.
We have love for the work that we do, and we have love for each other, and that's really what drives our movement. It's one of our brand values, and that's for a reason, because it has always been and still is a critical part of our movement.
Excellent. And the kickoff of the gathering in, President Rick Obono did a great job of bringing people into a space where we had a consensus understanding of what our goals were and why we were there. So let's listen to some of that.
My fellow Federationists, change has once again swept America. Promises have been made. Mandates are being claimed. And deals are being brokered. And, depending on your point of view, greater hope or uncertainty exists. Regardless of the promises, mandates, and deals, there is one great certainty that again expresses itself in this room tonight and on Capitol Hill this week. The National Federation of the Blind is on the watch. The blind stand self-determined to ensure that our equal participation will be part of the promises. The blind bring a mandate that blindness is not the characteristic that defines us or our future. And the blind say that every deal must raise expectations for the blind, because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. We can live the life we want, and Washington will not hold us back.
If you've never attended an NFB Washington seminar, I just strongly encourage you to do so. As President Rick Obono says in his opening comments, depending on which side you're on, greater hope or uncertainty exists. And the Federation is committed to make sure that the future of the blind is well in the hands of the blind. And there's a person here with me this time to talk more about her feelings around the Federation. And she has great insight to the president himself. I want to welcome our new co-host of the Nation's Blind Podcast, Miss Melissa Riccobono.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Now,
don't be nervous.
No,
this will be fun.
Nervous. Oh, absolutely.
Right, just ease into the seat. I know, you know, it's really kind of custom right now for Chris, but you know, it's still a cushy little chair. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Good. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a trial by fire in this first Melissa Riccobono co-hosted podcast. So we'll let our listeners determine whether we made a good decision or not. How about that?
I think that's exactly what needs to happen.
Oh, I'm kidding.
I was talking to President Riccobono this morning, and I said, you know, if I'm terrible, you got to take me off after a couple episodes.
No, you can't. You're not going to be terrible. If you're terrible, then that's a reflection on us being able to make sure that we can put this together well. So I think that it was very appropriate to bring you in after President Riccobono's comments. You were there at the Washington seminar.
Actually, I was not, unfortunately. I had sick children at home. So
oh,
I was
life
being a
got
mom.
In the way.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You know, our other family had to take precedence.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. And we'll hopefully be able to talk in future episodes of the podcast around the initiative that you've been putting together around blind parents.
Oh, I would hope so. That would be wonderful.
Excellent. We can expound on how sometimes life gets in the way and how blind parents are equally able to take care of their kids and that whole thing.
Absolutely. But I have been to several Washington seminars, and there is nothing like that gavel coming down and the Great Gathering In. There's nothing like going to the Capitol and hearing all those canes tap, tap,
yeah,
tapping while you're going to different offices.
The energy is crazy.
The energy is crazy, yeah. And it is one of my favorite parts of what we do because it is us in action, and it really shows blind people that you can take action, that you can be that driver in your own life,
there
and you
go.
Don't have to be that passenger, and you can really live that life that you want to live, and you can have the lawmakers in the land
be accountable
understand.
To you.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
They work so. For us, Melissa.
They do.
And we have
they
to remind
do.
Them that they do.
Every day, yes.
But you have a job right now. I'm going to transition you into your first assignment.
Excellent.
You're going to handle our In the News segment with Chris Danielson.
Excellent.
So let's take a listen to the news.
This is Scott Van Gorp, National Federation of the Blind of Iowa, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, Melissa. It's great to have you on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for welcoming me in and letting me be the new kid on the block, so to speak.
Well, you're going to be great. I predict greatness from Melissa Riccobono.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. So I know that you have some great news stories to tell us about. Let's start, I guess, where we just ended, Washington Seminar. What do you have to tell us about that?
Well, Washington Seminar was great. And to get into some of the particulars, so we had a big announcement, actually, at our congressional reception. Because this doesn't happen always, but a congressman, David Young of Iowa, actually announced at the congressional reception that we had that he was going to introduce one of our bills.
Wow.
And that is the Access Technology Affordability Act, which will give a tax credit to blind people to buy access technology.
Wow, the reception was a place to be.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, breaking news at the reception. That was pretty incredible. It was a really powerful moment. So there was that. There was the student rally. That was a new thing that we did this year to particularly focus attention on the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act. We had a great rally at the Upper Senate Park at noon on the Tuesday of Washington Seminar. We had over 100 Federationists there. We had 30-some students, or maybe a little less than 30, but nearly 30 students speak about their challenges that they experienced at colleges and universities all over the country, everything from Ivy League schools to little community colleges, and talked about the challenges that happen when technology is not accessible. And it was a very powerful to hear, you know, story after story of the impact of inaccessible technology. It wasn't depressing at all because we're going to do something about it. But it was important to hear about the problem directly from the students.
Absolutely. I love students. I love how much energy students can bring. I joined the Federation as a student, so I'm always very partial to what students can do and love to keep track of what they're doing. And I'm glad they were able to organize such a great rally and a good event.
And if you couldn't be at the rally, then there's still something you can do, by the way. You can sign our change.org petition urging Congress and the Trump administration to act on the AIM High Act to get that thing passed and signed into law. So go to our homepage. The link to the petition is still there, and you can sign it and tell Congress and the Trump administration, don't deny AIM High.
Absolutely. I signed it myself, and the coolest thing was I shared it on social media, and I got friends and former neighbors of mine who aren't blind, don't have anything really, any real connection to blindness aside from knowing my family and knowing me, and they signed it, and that was really cool to see. That's
yeah.
Just the power of social media and the power of what we're doing.
I had the same experience. It was really great. So a couple of other things. There are a couple of deadlines approaching that we need to be mindful of. One is, of course, our scholarship deadline, speaking of students.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you are seeking some assistance from for your higher education, then you should consider applying for a National Federation of the Blind scholarship. We typically have 30 of them. Over $100,000 is given out, and the deadline is March 31st. And do not wait until the last minute, because there's application materials that you have to get together, and there's an essay you have to write. And so make sure that you really start that process now if you haven't started it already, so you won't miss the chance to not only get the financial support you need, but to really experience the Federation by coming to our national convention, by meeting mentors who can talk to you about living the life you want and your future as a student and as a member of society and as a member of the National Federation of the Blind.
Yeah, don't procrastinate. do as I say, not as I did when I applied. don't procrastinate, okay? You'll be much happier if you don't do that. We have our Bolotin Award, too, coming up, right? Deadline coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bolotin Award is our annual award recognizing individuals and organizations that have made outstanding contributions into the process of integrating the blind fully into society. And for those who don't know, Dr. Jacob Bolotin was an amazing individual, lived in the first part of the 20th century in Chicago, and became a doctor, the first medical doctor that we know of to be born blind, and really was very widely respected in Chicago and in the Midwest, had an untimely death at the age of 36 just because he worked so hard and didn't give himself enough rest. But really an outstanding individual, somebody who would have been a Federationist if he had lived longer. And so make sure you check out our website. All this information is on the homepage, by the way. And make sure that you consider applying for, if you feel that you are such an individual or organization, or nominating an individual or organization who is doing outstanding work. You know, some of our past winners have included people like Winston Chen, who invented the voice dream reader, the Oscar and Klaus guys, who have put together those great books about how even a blind cat can live the life he wants, all kinds of other, you know, Apple for their accessibility work, all kinds of, so that really, there's definitely criteria for the award, but it's very broad, and people who are doing all kinds of outstanding work have received the Bolotin Award. So take a look and consider nominating someone.
Excellent. Now, I know you have a couple of other things. Link NYC. Tell me about that. What is that? That's so, something I am actually not even familiar with.
Well, so Link NYC is in New York City, as you might guess from its name. And Link NYC decided it was a project to replace the 7,500 or something phone booths that used to be in New York City. Remember phone booths?
Yeah.
Melissa, have you ever seen a phone booth?
I remember quite well. In fact, the very first time I ever made a call in a phone booth, it was full of water. It had just rained. And I remember standing there talking to my mom thinking, this is so weird. I'm outside, but I'm making a phone call, but I'm in this little building. I was maybe 3 or 4. And I said to her, it's really watery in here. And I stamped my feet to, you know, try to have her hear the water. So, yes, I do remember phone booths, but they're hard to find these days.
Yes, they are. I remember the first time I was in one as well. We had a little fender bender.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, this was back before cell phones. Yes, I am. I do date from before cell phones.
Yeah, me too.
And we had to go into a phone booth and make a phone call to my dad to get our insurance information and let him know what had happened and why we were going to be late getting home. So, because we were waiting for the police and all that. Anyway, so phone booths are out and self-service links are what they call these things are in. And they do some of the same things as phone booths in that you can make a call from them. And you can also call 911. And you can get Wi-Fi access and you can do some other things to access city services. But they were launched and they're not accessible. So even the 911 function was not accessible, which really defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah.
So, well, the good news is that we very quickly, we filed a lawsuit last summer or fall about this, and we very quickly reached a settlement with CityBridge, which is the company that's actually doing the Link NYC program. And they have committed to not rolling out any more services or any more links until they have installed accessibility components on these devices. So that's really great news.
That is incredible news. And I mean, really life-changing for services like this around the country, because if New York does it, others might follow. So if there's a good accessible model out there, that will just benefit everybody. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's good great news. It'll set a precedent, hopefully, for other services like this, because, you know, you're starting to see these self-service terminals in more and more places, restaurants.
Don't get me started about trying to get any kind of urgent care or, any kind of signing into any kind of like a minute clinic at a Target or a CVS or anywhere like that.
Right, right. And we've already, of course, made one deal with an accessible healthcare kiosk provider as well to make their products accessible. So hopefully that's precedent setting as well. So we really need to see this work go forward. And it's nice that we have a partner in CityBridge to make that happen.
Wonderful. Now we have a social media campaign coming up. Talk to me about that.
We do. We have a March social media campaign, and the purpose of the social media campaign is to tell our stories and increase membership. So there's three components to it. First of all, we want everybody to use the hashtag #WhyI'mAFederationist, and the I'm does not have the apostrophe. Why I'm a Federationist, in order to tell your Federation story. And this can be on Twitter or Facebook. Obviously, telling a story in 140 characters is a challenge, but it can be done. So talk about why you're a Federationist and post that to social media using that hashtag. The second thing is that we want every chapter to commit to trying to recruit at least one new member. And the final component is that there will be a link in the show notes to our new member form. Some people may not even know that we have this now, but there is a new member form on our website where when you recruit a new member, you can actually add information about that member on our website, and it will go into our database. And the cool thing about it is that the new member will then receive a bunch of welcome emails from President Riccobono and other leaders in the Federation at different levels so that they really get introduced to our movement and really understand what the National Federation of the Blind is all about and how we're helping blind people live the lives we want.
That is outstanding. Any other information you want to share in this segment, Chris?
Well, there's always information, but I think that's all I have for now. So we'll do this again next month.
Great. Look forward to it.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Well, how about that, Melissa? Pretty good job on your first attempt at
the
podcast piece.
I've always wanted to be a person on the radio or doing news, so yeah. I guess I practiced from very little on. I probably have cassette tapes somewhere of me
fake
being
news?
On the radio.
News?
And fake commercials.
See, well,
yes,
now
yes.
You got a new space in today's, I'm not going to go down that particular path. Really good job within the news.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's exciting. We're doing so many things. It's great to let members know what we're doing.
And
anyone else who happens upon this podcast, it's a great tool.
Agreed. And I can't wait to start tweeting using the hashtag why I am a federationist, WHYIM. A federationist, so
right.
That's going to be fun in March.
I'm excited about that, too, and I know Chris said that it's hard to tell a story in 140 characters, and I agree, yet I think those are the most compelling stories. I think what we forget oftentimes is that stories don't have to be novels. They can just be stories. They can
that's
be little
true.
Vignettes, and I think just a sentence or two can be just as powerful as a big dissertation on Facebook about why I'm a federationist.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually thinking, what am I going to say?
Because, there you go.
You know, I've got to make sure that I participate in this.
So. Next month, we'll hopefully have some interesting ones to share.
Oh, it'll be fun to read them. That'd be great. Yeah.
But speaking of stories.
Get them coming.
Speaking of stories,
yes.
This one's not going to be in 140 characters or less.
Oh.
I had the opportunity to interview one of our interns from our summer internship last year. The internship program, of course, the deadline for applications is coming up soon. Mr. Michael Osborne, who's currently at the Louisiana Center for the Blind, who interned with us last summer, took a little time out of his busy day to talk to me about his summer internship experience. And I think that it'd be helpful for me to share this story with other individuals who may be interested in participating in the internship.
Great.
All right. So I'll take this one. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Blind eyes have seen the vision of the Federation way. Our white cane legislation brought the dawn of a new day.
Welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast. It is indeed my honor to be here with a up-and-coming leader in the Federation, a member of the 2016 cohort of our NFB Summer Internship Program, Mr. Michael Osborne. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, sir. It's good to be home.
Well, I love the way you said that. Look at that. I already set in the tone. It's right on brand. It's like those 10 weeks that you spent with us last summer really took hold.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Tell me what's going on with you now before we get into this whole summer internship piece.
Well, I'm currently a student at the Louisiana Center for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, the best one ever.
Ooh-ah. Absolutely. Graduate 2009. I'm the best student that ever graduated from Louisiana Center. Have you seen my bust in the main room there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you are such a liar.
And I heard you got the biggest whittle stick.
Yeah. I am very proud of my whittle stick. For those of you who don't know, you'll have to find out. I am very proud of my whittle stick. And if you're lucky, you'll get one too.
I'm hoping for it. I'm talking to Mr. Whittle about it as we speak.
Beautiful. You just got back from Mardi Gras, right?
I did.
Okay.
That was one heck of an experience.
Yeah, that was really powerful. I've gone to Mardi Gras once. I need go no more, but it was an awesome experience. For those of you who don't know, part of the curriculum at the Louisiana Center for the Blind is to have some really interesting, I guess all of our centers have them, but the one that's unique to Louisiana Center is attending Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Who that?
Okay, good. Okay, I see. Roland's already integrated you into that too. That's good. Good. So we're here to talk about the summer internship program. For those of you who don't know, the National Federation of the Blind offers a unique summer intern experience for blind college students. It's a 10-week program. This year, the program starts on May 29th and it lasts until August 4th. Individuals who are interested, we can give you more information, but the preliminary summary is if you send me a copy of a cover letter, two letters of recommendation, a copy of your resume, we'll put you in the loop for consideration. My email address is alewis, that's A-L-E-W-I-S, at nfb.org. So, Michael, 2016, that was you, Jared, and Julie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a little maniacal crew of interns. What did you like and what didn't you like about the program?
Honestly, I would say that there are a couple of key moments that really stick out to me.
Okay.
Having the ability to network with our leaders and really understand how our organization works was truly a fantastic experience.
Well, I'm glad that you appreciated that. That's definitely one of the things that we try to do through our internship program.
Absolutely.
And it's purely selfish. We want to make sure that we provide an experience that's going to be beneficial to you. But we do ourselves as an organization a disservice if we didn't bring you closer to the organization so that we could capitalize on your talents.
Absolutely. I mean, truly, I came into the internship and I wanted to learn some things, but I thought I knew a lot. And then I got here and first thing I told Jared was, wow, there's more stuff to it than just membership, leadership, scholarship, you know.
Look at you.
Stuff like that. And I was like, oh. I guess I got a lot to learn.
It's those intangible pieces that a lot of people take for granted because the Federation, through its history, has worked like a well-oiled machine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And truly, probably my favorite experience, what I truly loved more than anything else, was the opportunity to be a mentor with our youth programs. I was able to work with the EQ program, Engineering Quotient Program.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Highly, highly recommend everybody check out any program that Natalie Shaheen is putting out.
Yeah, she is amazing. I call her coach. Amazing. Yeah, but she is a master teacher in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Now, was it you or Jared that was a little apprehensive about working with the kids?
Oh, that was Jared.
Okay, yeah. And he came out of it really, you know, we pushed him out of his comfort zone, and he learned a little bit more about himself as well.
Yeah, and I mean, truly, being able to just observe the transformation of the students, you know, them being able to pour their milk by themselves, mm-hmm. to get to the bathroom by themselves, mm-hmm. To just see it and the joy and the happiness and the progress was amazing.
And I think that's one of the things that we do unique to our programs. We challenge the blind person to be more than what society expects.
Absolutely.
And hopefully
absolutely.
We did that for you in the program as well.
Oh, definitely. Honestly, you know, it was challenging. I won't lie. Mm-hmm. I would wake up every morning and head straight to the office. After throwing on my suit and my tie real quick because I almost woke up late.
Got to wear the armor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, not every day is going to be pretty, but that's a standard job experience. So.
Yeah. And I think, and I should be very candid with everyone, if you're looking for a standard internship experience where you get up and do something rolled every day, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Our internship program evolves as you participate in some opportunities. We didn't even fathom would exist, but we try to make sure that we give you an opportunity to experience something new and innovative and every day.
I remember one morning we woke up and we went to the office and we sat down and I looked at Julie and Jared and I said, what are we going to do next? And they said, no idea. And I was like, all right. And then Anil comes in and says, all right, we're going to the president's office.
Yeah.
And we went there and he said, y'all are going to work on helping us build the Federation.
There you go.
And we did it.
That's the key for the internship program. I think we did a really good job with all three of you. You left the program and went to the Louisiana Center for the Blind.
Yes, sir.
Julie is now at the Colorado Center for the Blind. Jared went out and became the president of the Iowa affiliate. So I think that we did pretty good with the 2016 cohort.
I would say so.
So what are your next steps? What are you doing next?
So what it's looking like right now is I'm trying to finish the Louisiana Center program. Mm-hmm. I got Nevada to agree to 6 months.
Good.
And after that, I'm going to pursue my love of mentoring and love of teaching. And take some time out, get my master's from Louisiana Tech, get my NOMC at my rehabilitation teaching.
Excellent.
Credentials. And then from there, hopefully work for a little bit, take some time off, and then go back to law school and help the Federation and continue to do what I do.
You've got it all mapped out.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Well, if we can take advantage of your talent for any of the NFB programs that are coming up, we'll definitely make sure we call on you.
Absolutely.
One of the things I didn't mention, as part of the summer internship program, our interns do get to participate in our national convention in a different way than most. I think a lot of people have attended the convention, recognize what a robust experience it is, but when you have to work on the back end, you get to see a whole different side of that event that most don't see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we put you guys to work during convention last year, right?
one could say that. I remember we had our work plan. Everything was mapped out. And I was like, man, this is well organized.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got there, and it was organized chaos, but we got it done.
Life happens.
Oh,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. We, you know, it's adapt and overcome.
Well, another experience, Michael's here for our leadership training, a unique opportunity for members of the Federation to get to know our national president in a real way over an extended weekend, learn more about the history and leadership. So I'm looking forward to interacting with you this weekend as well.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to learn more about our organization.
Thank you for coming in a little earlier. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and you just heard from our 2016 summer intern, Mr. Michael Osborn. Yeah, Michael Osborn is a remarkable young man. I'm really proud to have him as a friend, and I hope that we can continue to mentor this young man because he's definitely one of the future leaders in our organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you had an internship program. When you were the NFB of Maryland State President, you guys had an internship program as well, right?
We did, and it was wonderful. We had it for 2 years, and we had four great young ladies who are still involved in the NFB, and it was wonderful. They did things for the state of Maryland. They did things like helping to revitalize our student division, helping with our NFB Bell Academy, those types of things. And it was really fun. It was fun for me to be able to supervise them, to mentor them, to watch them grow mm-hmm. in their skills and in their confidence as they were able to have this internship experience. And it wasn't just, as your internships are as well, it's not just a frou-frou, oh, here, come and have a little internship for, you know, a couple weeks because you're blind and, you know, you can't do that much. It's very substantive. Intense,
absolutely.
Substantive,
yeah.
And it was really based, as the NFB Jernigan Institute internships are, really based on their interests, their talents, as much as we could. Now, certainly there were things that needed to be done that we needed somebody to do, and mm-hmm. maybe they weren't thrilled about it, but they still did it anyway. But we tried to throw in other things. That's the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's what we offer in our internships. Exactly like you described, I think some of our students, when they participate in mainstream internship opportunities, they don't get a sense of a higher expectation.
That's right.
They think in many instances that they're providing an opportunity for this blind person to experience something new, but not challenging that blind person to grow in that experience. And we definitely challenge blind people to grow.
Absolutely.
Let me do a little self-auditing on both of us. I said you ran a program for our program.
It was our internship program.
So our Maryland internship program, our National Jernigan Institute program. So just making sure that we're practicing what we preach here.
Absolutely. And I keep saying NFB, and I need to say National Federation of the Blind.
Oh,
say it loud, say it proud.
Look
you
at
know,
you.
That's our whole name, and we need to use it.
Man, you might work out with this whole effort after all.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Mentoring is what we do as an organization. It's one of the many ways we bring members into this organization. And membership building is what I had the opportunity to talk to President Rico Bono about in our presidential privilege.
Well, let's listen to that.
Well, it's my pleasure. Let's take a moment for the presidential privilege.
Hello, my name is Caitlin McIntyre from the National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Welcome back. We're going to take a moment of presidential privilege. It's my pleasure to be here with the president of the National Federation of the Blind, Mr. Mark Riccobono.
Hello,
welcome.
Hello.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Just saw you, maybe 15 minutes
that's
ago?
That's right. I never know what to say on this. You can't really say good morning or good afternoon.
Because you never know when they're listening.
That's right.
Let's just say hi.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, my Federation family. So we've been talking about the power of the Federation being love, and we kind of moved into this segment really focusing around membership and how the love of the organization is probably key to that membership experience of getting people to join. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that in asking people to join, it's a commitment to the organization, but you try to meet people where they are before you really get them to really see the organization for what it really is.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of folks realize the element of love that exists in the organization. Part of that is because a lot of the big picture items we do are pushing on systemic barriers, big glorious victories in Congress or against someone that's discriminating against blind people. But the underpinning of what we do is to create opportunities for blind people and really opportunities for blind people to connect with other blind people. I think the leaders in the Federation have always recognized that although they may have certain skills and talents, they're not going to appeal to every single person. I mean, it's hard for anybody to really do that. So the goal is to get someone connected into this network that we have where it's a people's movement. So you're not going to click with everybody, but knowing that there's this whole pool of people that you can call upon across the country, that's where that element comes in. You can call any member of the Federation and say, hey, I'm a member of the Federation in Kansas, and I heard you're knowledgeable about this, and they'll talk to you. I mean, that was my experience.
Endless resources with the people and the talent we have. You said that you can't click with everyone, but sometimes there's a click. Sometimes there's more than a click in this whole effort. You met Melissa through the NFB, is that correct?
I did, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I didn't meet her through the NFB. I had met her in Wisconsin on a ski trip.
Ski trip?
Yeah.
No, thank you. Yeah. Unless it's water skiing.
Cross country, so
God
it's a little
both.
More, you know, physical than just sliding downhill.
I'll let you have it. So you met her skiing, really?
Yeah, it was a ski trip, and she was still in high school at the time. I was at the University of Wisconsin, and she was looking at what colleges to apply to, and I, of course, told her that my university was the best choice for her.
Just a little bias there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Okay. And I then went off to Walt Disney World. the first semester.
I just got Melissa referred to college. What are you going to do next?
Yeah, I went off to Walt Disney World in their internship program. So,
oh, that's right. You have your doctorate.
I'm a doctorate. We should talk about that one of these times. And
we'll
I was president of the student division for the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin. But I was away in Florida for a semester. And when I came back, we wanted to start some efforts and get some things going. And so we invited everybody we knew of to meetings. That's what we did. And lots of people told me that there was no way in the world that Melissa Lehman would join the Federation. She hated the Federation. And I didn't think too much about that, just that, again, here's a blind person. We have something to offer. She has something to offer. That's the way I always look at it.
Exactly.
And let people make their own decision. And I've always favored the underdog, so I'm up for a challenge. And we had a meeting in my little studio apartment there on Henry Street in Madison, Wisconsin. A bunch of us crammed into this little studio apartment, and we were just doing what we do, talking about how do we get the Colonel books out and how do we get a bank of canes for kids. We didn't have the free white cane program then, so we would hunt up canes. And
that's old school grassroots membership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Building.
And so at the end of the meeting, we said, well, it's January. We got to collect dues for the year. And so the treasurer got ready to get the dues. And the first person to pop up and pay her dues was Melissa Lehman at the time.
Well, how about that?
So I thought, this is a problem maybe. So I called her the next day and said, we should go to lunch. And I was very brick wall about this. So we went to lunch. And I said, now you do realize that you joined the National Federation of the Blind.
This organization that you hated.
That's what people told me. She never said that, right?
Okay.
And we went through the whole thing. She said, there's good things going on. I want to be part of it. And that was a good lesson for me that the perception of who we are and what we do is different than welcoming people in to discover it for themselves. Most of the negative that people know about this organization is from rumor, or unfortunately sometimes because they had a bad encounter with a person that maybe didn't handle whatever it was correctly or very well.
That's very true.
Which we're all prone to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So that we continue to keep our hearts and minds open to all blind people, and I believe we have a space for all blind people, is part of what we share in this organization. I think if you read The Power of Love, which is the recent book we published about Kenneth Jernigan, we should put that in the show notes, you'll get a sense of how he helped to advance that notion that it's the love we really have for each other, looking out for each other, that fuels this organization.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And it's interesting, again, the power of the organization is the love that bonds us, the love that fuses us and motivates us to continue to make a difference in the lives of blind people. But that power of love that moves the organization also sometimes manifests itself into loving relationships. And you were able to not only recruit a stellar member of the organization, you were also able to find a wonderful helpmate in Melissa, now Riccobono.
Yeah.
You guys have a wonderful family. And there's so many other relationships that have kind of grown from that interaction within the organization as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you are dug in doing important, powerful work, you know, you get to know people in that way. There are clearly folks that come around the Federation or maybe any organization looking to hook up. I mean, that wasn't my...
That's real talk.
Yeah, that wasn't my real motivation. I hadn't really thought about much the characteristic of blindness in terms of someone that I may have a relationship with. In fact, I, you know, Melissa probably the first real blind person that I had a significant relationship with in that way. So it's interesting that how those things evolve and based on the time and space that you're in. And I think you see a lot of relationships that evolve from the Federation, and sometimes it is because blind people have never been in a space where people know them for who they are, not just as a blind person.
That's a very good point.
And so it's not that blind people are better off marrying blind people. It's that understanding that exists, and blindness really isn't part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. I also think the added benefit is your leadership of this organization requires such a significant sacrifice. And if you were not able to find someone that shared that mission, that goal, the values, and was willing to dedicate the time and energy necessary and to make those similar sacrifices, I don't think that we would be able to benefit from your leadership in a real robust fashion. So,
yeah, and you see it, that is true with all of our leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Our most successful affiliate presidents, that sort of thing, even chapter presidents in many regards, they have family members, partners, spouses who at least understand enough about the organization to know, why are they putting so much darn time into this
exactly.
thing?
Exactly. There's no way that our immediate past president, Mark Maurer, would have been able to dedicate 28 years of his life if Patricia Maurer didn't share that same commitment.
Sure. And even, you know, a lot of sighted spouses, sighted partners, find their niche, mm-hmm. Whether it's helping out with the child care, or you think about Jackie Brown doing the auctions in Virginia, or
right alongside Charlie Brown.
There's lots of examples of people that they find their space. They find a place that they can dig in and make it their own. Mm-hmm. That's often a little bit separate but connected from their significant other, and that's really when things work beautifully. When you see this whole community of people that are contributing in so many ways and finding their space. And I think that's a key part of membership in this organization, is encouraging people to find their space.
Yeah. Another profound example of that relationship commitment is seen in Dr. Kenneth Drannigan and Marilyn Drannigan, who still stays committed to this organization today, working every day, well, most of the time now, here at the center. So, yeah, I think that this particular piece is important for two reasons. One, I think it's very important for our members and those individuals who don't even know us to recognize that that is really true to our core, that we love each other. We truly are a Federation family. But I also think that it's an important disclosure for our members and even those who want to get to know us more, because I think that this is a side of you that many individuals don't get an opportunity to share, because most of the work that you're doing is actually work. So I appreciate you being willing to open up and share a little bit of this personal part of you with our membership and our listeners.
Yeah, my pleasure. The other thing that needs to be said is, Love is the element in what we do that gets us to have the commitment to share with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The recognition that there is a give and take, and you know, I guess it's the old Beatles adage, right? The love you take is equal to the love you make. We contribute to the PAC plan or dig in our pocket to help people who are in trouble, or once in a while buy a blind person a meal who doesn't have the resources for whatever reason. They've faced barriers, help get free canes to people, that sort of thing. We all make sacrifices, and we all have a giving back spirit in the Federation, with full recognition that we get something from it. When mm-hmm. when one blind person can walk a little more confidently, mm-hmm. or pursue beating down their own discrimination because they're empowered to do it, we're there to support them, but mm-hmm. we're not doing it for them, that we're all better off for it. And until you really get in the middle of it, I don't think you see the Federation in that way.
Very true.
And I think the only way to get in the middle of it is to come to a chapter meeting and help out.
There you go. And it's really just that simple. Thank you for spending time with us. Doctorate Mark Riccobono, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind.
I'm Corb O'Connor from the NFB of Minnesota, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Well, there you go, Melissa. That man truly found a gem in you through recruiting you as a member to this organization. And I can say from my own personal experience that you are two are a very loving couple. I love hanging out and spending time with you and your family. So love. That's the power of the Federation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just as a segue or a side note, I'm sorry, just as a side note, our kids love you. You know, I don't know that people out there know that you are the godfather
the
of all
godfather.
Three of our children.
Yes.
And Oriana just on Saturday said to me, Mommy, I just saw Mr. O'Neill and I just gave him a hug and I said hello. And every time they see you, they're very excited. So
yeah, they
definitely
just feel
very
me.
Loving.
They fill my heart.
Yeah.
Wonderful kids.
Yeah.
Austin Riccobono is my main man.
He's your main man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when I was listening to the Presidential Privilege, I was thinking about love and the love that we give each other in the Federation. And I was thinking that we do give each other a lot of very positive love. And mm-hmm. once in a while, though, the other really powerful part about our organization is we really are a family. And, you mm-hmm. know, sometimes in the family, you've got to give a family member a little bit of tougher love.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I think that we sometimes have those difficult conversations. And I know for myself, when I was first joining the National Federation of the Blind, I was a very different person.
So Mark was explaining.
Yes, absolutely. And I won't go into all the details, but I really didn't have a lot of love for the National Federation of the Blind back then. But when I joined, mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe I don't agree with the whole National Federation of the Blind, but these students, these guys and women mm-hmm. are okay. They're doing good things, and so they're okay. But I also was kind of coming out of the I'm amazing
yeah.
syndrome.
Yeah.
I'd been told that. I was a pretty good athlete in high school. I had the opportunity to run in the Paralympics in 1996. I did choir. I did all sorts of things. And I was sort of constantly given that message that, wow, you are so amazing.
Yeah.
And that's sort of why I figured I didn't need any other blind people, because I was doing just fine on my own. Thank you very much. I was amazing. I didn't need those other people, especially those really weird, you know, radical people. I didn't need those people. And the greatest gift that the National Federation of the Blind gave to me and continues to give to me is the gift of saying to me, you are not amazing.
Yeah.
You are yourself.
Yeah.
You have talents
mm-hmm.
and we want those talents, but you're not amazing. There's other people that are doing all these great things and you're just a person who happens to be blind, living the life that you want to live. But that was sort of some tough love tough going reality. On. Yeah.
To hear people challenge you and check you that way, it's kind of shocking, but it's necessary.
So necessary. Yeah. And I really try. I'm all for meeting people where they are, but I'm also for whenever I have the opportunity, sort of pushing them just that much, a little bit further on their road of self-discovery. And I guess that's my former school counselor training coming in. But it is really true. It's really important. And definitely, I want to meet someone where they are. But at the same time, I always want to try to take the opportunities that I can to just help them reframe things, think things through a little bit differently, just so that they realize they're just a person and we're all in this together.
Yeah, and that's a special bond that President Carbone and I share. We met each other years ago, and we just got into a place where we're very comfortable having mm-hmm. the uncomfortable conversation.
Absolutely.
And if I want to know something about me, that the truth, you know, he's who I go to because he's unafraid of letting me know the truth. That tough love is so important.
Absolutely. You know, the sighted will, it's weird. You know, the sighted will either completely push you down and say, oh, you can't do anything, or they'll completely often buoy you up. You know, oh, you're amazing. That's wonderful. That you tied your shoe. Oh, my goodness. So it's really refreshing to come to a place where you have those real, true conversations.
Yeah.
And can really be yourself, can share all that good, all that bad. And it's very powerful, and that's one reason I really love this organization.
So the power of the Federation is love, and
absolutely.
The power of the Federation is tough love.
Absolutely.
We hope that we've been able to share some information with you on this podcast that has helped you understand the Federation more, that's hopefully created more of a commitment to the organization. We would love to hear from you, but before we go into the usual transitioning out, I think it's important to let you know that we're making it possible for you to access the podcast in new and innovative ways every day. You want to talk about our new way of accessing the podcast, Melissa?
Absolutely. If you happen to have an Amazon Echo, Amazon Dot, or a Amazon Tap, you can now listen to the podcast through TuneIn on any of those devices. And of course, if you have TuneIn on your iPhone or I think you can even do TuneIn on a computer. You could listen to the Nation's Blind podcast, also the Braille Monitor, Future Reflections, and the Presidential Release in English and Spanish on those devices. So
Alexa is a Federationist now.
Alexa is absolutely a Federationist.
Alexa, play the Nation's Blind podcast on TuneIn.
And she'll say, here's the latest episode of the Nation's Blind podcast.
What I love, though, is if people are playing that and they're not playing it on their Alexa device, we just started their Alexa to play the podcast. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That is really cool. Yeah. That is very cool. And it's really nice. We have an Alexa in our kitchen. And so the other day I was cooking and I was listening to the Nation's Blind podcast. It was pretty neat.
Well, remember the deadlines. There's a scholarship deadline, a Blatton deadline, and other pieces. Next month, we'll be talking about a lot of things. Hopefully, we're doing some conversation about technology.
And why I'm a Federationist. Use that hashtag
W-H-Y-I-M,
a Federationist.
There you go. Looking forward to working with you, Melissa.
Me too.
Yeah. The show notes have links to a lot of things that we discussed. We're going to leave you with some comments about love. There's a banquet speech called The Intersection of Law and Love, offered by immediate past president Dr. Mark Maurer in our 2012 convention in Dallas. But until then, remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
From the time of the beginning of the National Federation of the Blind, we have been seeking equality of opportunity. Many have believed that we who are a minority must gain equality by obtaining it from somebody else, by demanding that we be given this right by sighted people who are in possession of our equality and have been denying it to us. However, if justice incorporates the notion of love, we cannot get it solely by insisting that it be ours, though this may be a necessary element. Nobody gets love by demanding it. It comes to those who behave in such a way that they can interact with others in a loving spirit. It comes to those who are willing to give it to others. This means that we are not separated from the equality we seek. We are not controlled by others. We participate in the mechanism of gaining our own freedom. We are worthy of admiration, and we, along with others, have come to recognize this truth.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube. And visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.